Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You better. You bet BetQL Audio Network. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley just talked about the Lakers and their probable path here towards the play-in tournament. Now let's do some of our NBA takeaways from last night. A lot to take away from Tuesday night in the association. So, Rick, lay down that beat and let's get into it here. And I didn't have it slated to start with the Trailblazers, but since we were just talking about them in concordance with the Lakers, let's start with Portland here. So they lose last night by 17 to the Clippers. Clippers beat them 133-116. Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
Goes 2-for-14 and scores 11 points. The Blazers still score 116 against the Clippers. Norman Powell has 32. So, like, yes, like, they lose.
By a
they
lot.
Don't cover the spread.
Yeah.
Dame does not play well.
Game flies over.
Game flies over the total as well. Am I nuts for kind of, like, leaving that game actually, like, feeling, like, decent about Portland when it comes down to it? And I said this when they made the trade for Norman Powell. Like, Norm's really good. Norm's going to have games where he scores a lot. McCollum's going to have games where he scores a lot. Dame's going to have more games than not when he scores a lot. I don't know, man. Like, I think this is a really interesting team heading into a postseason series if all three of those guys could go nuclear.
Well, I agree with you. I think the number one problem with, like, feeling really good about Portland in a playoff series is we just did the standings. It is insanely likely that it's them and Dallas in a seven-game series to start the postseason. That's like either the 4-5 or like that's like really possible. That's a tough way to be like, I love Portland.
I think they could beat Dallas.
Yeah, but you like Dallas a lot too. I mean, like, you like Luka to win the MVP. You think they're on a roll right now.
That's an interesting series if it comes down to it, because Dallas's defense has been really good, and the problem is that it's kind of like a college basketball handicap for some of these games that we were doing in the tournament, where if Portland's making their threes, I think they can win, but like Dallas is going to score probably like every time they go down the court almost, right, against Portland.
Yep.
So it would be tough.
I misspoke actually too. That is a possible matchup, but those teams would be 6-7. Or sorry, 5-6, not 4-5 in that situation. So Denver would play one of them. So let's say it's Denver. It's like new look Denver with Jokic, who we love and everything, and Aaron Gordon's playing out of his mind, like intangibles wise. One thing Portland did, and they kind of showed you that last night, they're almost all in on like hyper volatility, right? And this was a little true against the Lakers in the postseason last year. The thought was, okay, well, like, for a couple games, we can shoot insanely well. We can score 130, 140 points. There's nothing you can do about it. We can get the series late in the series and maybe something can happen because of just how much like sheer offensive power we have. You saw a little bit of it last night. They just end up in a give out. You know, Lillard played so bad, they couldn't win the game, but you kind of see what they're going for. And if they play Denver, if they play the Clippers, a team that, you know, is going to be favored over them a substantial amount, that's a way they can get it to a game six, a game seven, where maybe the Clippers turn into the Clippers at that point.
And not only that, but like these games are going to be ridiculously high scoring with Portland.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so that's like total.
That's
like
why 235, that's why I love, 240, that's yeah. why I love the Norman Powell trade. Cause it was like, you know what? Like, we ain't winning like this. So why don't we just try and like add to our strength? And yes, we're going to give up 130 points. We're going to try and score 135. So
sure.
We'll see what happens with the Blazers. We got a lot more NBA takeaways to give you here on the other side, including the Philadelphia 76ers making yet another statement at the expense of the Boston Celtics. It's all coming up next here on You Better You Bet.
Oh, and B, that's death and taxes. Once he gets it in there, nothing can stop him.
The Cornette didn't want any part of that dunk.
It's You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
NBC Sports Philadelphia on the call. Joel Embiid, 35 points. Sixers wrecked the Celtics. Only won by 10. They They beat him handily. Like 10 is a flattering score line to the Celtics.
It's like Denver.
I like the call there where it's like no one can stop him. You know what that makes me think of? One of my favorite recurring lines in Austin Powers when Dr. Evil will run through like all the things that he's going to do and he'll go, and the best part is no one can stop me. Not even Austin Powers. and then they all do the laugh. Amazing. And the best part is no one can stop Joel Embiid. We should have bet the Sixers last night, Ken. They beat the Celtics 106-96.
That was a little regret. A little regret there because I was like, I think they're good here, but like he hasn't been back that long. And you're like, nah, let's bet him. And I'm like, nah.
And look, this is not even about that. I think Philly, and right, actually, let me read this here. So if the NBA season were to end right now,
yep,
these would be your playoff matchups.
Read them off. I got the notebook right here.
Now we are ignoring the 9 and 10, which are the Bulls and the Pacers. A, because those teams are boring, and B, because it's more interesting to do it like this.
Well, the playing could be fun with Chicago playing the teams above them. That could be
yes, but then it kills like the point of this, which is
understood. Fun. Okay.
All right. So the 1-8 would be Sixers Celtics right now.
Oh boy.
Which I think
the Sixers. Philly.
Yeah, the Sixers would either sweep or would. The Sixers might sweep them. I think Philly is so much better than Boston. So Sixers, okay. Celtics, the 2-7, Nets, Knicks.
You want to make a case? This is where you go like, hey, they could take them 6.
Yeah, here's the case. The Nets win 3, then the Knicks get 1 in game 4, and then the Nets beat them in 5 for the gentleman sweep.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe 4.
Maybe 4. Listen, yeah. I listen. I'm sure a lot of people will make the case for the Knicks. I will not be one of them. Right. The 3-6 would be a rematch of last year's Eastern Conference semifinal with the Bucks and the Heat.
Very interesting.
And then the 4-5. I know it's not going to end like this. Mm-hmm. Hawks, Hornets. The Hawks are the 4 seed right now in the East.
And a couple questions there. Like, is Hayward back from his foot injury? Is LaMelo back? Which Matt Moore came on last week and was like, there's actually a chance he comes back for the playoffs.
I would take the Hornets if they have both those guys.
I agree. I would also take the Hornets.
It's fascinating. So I just thought that was really interesting.
From a storyline, that's the storyline standpoint is like, because frequently the 1-8 and the 2-7 are just absolute garbage series. Like absolute just, you don't even want to watch them. NBA TV, 8 o'clock between two good games.
NBA TV options at the True TV. And I don't get to watch Impractical Jokers because it's Bucks Pistons.
Right. Impractical Pistons. That's what it is. At least you have the narratives of look like everyone's going to think there's a part of Boston, like a version of Boston that's competitive. Everyone's going to think there's a version of Boston that's competitive.
Yeah. With Larry Bird and Kevin McHale in their prime.
Right. Well, they've had like recent playoff matchups that were really interesting too, which I think will add to that kind of mystique of that series a little bit. And then Brooklyn Knicks is funny because like the media, like everyone in the media would be rooting for that because it's a way to cover a series that sucks without making it seem like it sucks. It's like the best possible thing. Like, oh, it's the battle for New York, or Brooklyn would be minus 28,000, or that
yes.
would be, I mean, like,
yes.
That's a fake number. No, that's like literally, it would be like minus 30,000. You wouldn't be allowed to bet more than
that. I hope it doesn't happen as a Knicks fan. Like, I do not want that to be the series.
Right. And then Milwaukee, Miami would be, we can do the other two real quick. Like, what would you make? Let's say Miami's got everybody. Because they basically do right now. What would you make a Bucks Heat series price right now? Bucks have home court advantage in the series. I mean, one's going to want Milwaukee again. Nobody in like the media will want Milwaukee. People will bet Milwaukee because they'll bet them. They bet them last year. They bet them against everybody.
Bucks minus 300.
Yeah, is it like a little less than that?
250 at worst.
What was what did the bubble series close out on the neutral? Bucks were.
I don't remember 20? What I had for breakfast this morning, man. I don't remember.
No, I think they were really close to what you just said for the first guess. Maybe Tyler remembers or Rick remembers. I want to say because we both had the Heat. I want to say I had plus 280. Like I want to say I had that for the series before. Then, maybe below plus threes, maybe.
Yeah, then 320 makes sense.
Yeah, except I think the Bucks are way worse. They do have home court.
And well, I think you can make the case that the Heat are also worse, right? Given what they ended up doing.
Yeah, but like, isn't it more about Milwaukee being worse? I don't know. Like, who wants Milwaukee minus 300 in that series?
I actually think. I wouldn't do it, but I would. I don't think I'd bet the Heat.
I don't know. So Milwaukee gets past that. They get Brooklyn next. What would you make a Brooklyn Milwaukee series price?
Brooklyn minus 275.
Yeah, it's gonna be low enough that I'm gonna have a lot of it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because Milwaukee, I mean, for people who like kind of aren't onto this, but if you follow kind of NBA spreads closely, if you just kind of like derive your ratings from point spreads, Milwaukee's always the best team in the league by like 5 points. Like they're literally favored by more than anybody else is against anybody else. They're favored by a billion against bad teams. If you just derive your ratings from closing spreads, it's literally like the Bucks would be like 4 on a neutral against the Lakers with LeBron and Davis. It's like, it's wild. And sometimes that leads into some of these series prices where you kind of just have to pick your spot to be like, I'm all in against Milwaukee.
So what do you think? What do you think it would be? Nets, Bucks.
Well, Nets have home court. What would I bet? When would I stop betting Brooklyn? -400, probably. Oh. It'll never be that. It'll be less. But I mean, I would bet any number that's reasonable. I would bet Brooklyn in that.
Yeah.
Brooklyn, Philly with Philly having home court.
Philly having home court.
I tried to figure out what I thought the game spreads would be at each arena in this. For some reason today, this series I thought of when I was looking at some markets.
I think the series price would be like Nets -150.
Yeah, like would
maybe
the
maybe more?
Here's a fun way to. This is like a related question. What would the first two games? What would game one and game two be lined? They'd be in Philly. Would Philly be favored?
If they were, they'd be like -1. Right.
Right.
Like it would never be more than that.
Wouldn't the Nets be favored? Like by like 1 or 2? And then based on what happens, then like the market kind of like moves around a little bit, maybe?
Honestly, I would bet the Nets.
Right. That's what I mean. I think a lot of people feel like that. That's kind of interesting. Well, then they kind of have to be like a pretty reasonable series price, don't they? Like -200?
Yeah. What did I say first? -180.
You said like 180 or something. You were close.
It would be higher than that. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
I'd be curious. Brooklyn, Philly, like what? And people in YouTube right now, if you want to like put your guesses in, this is not, I haven't run the numbers. Like I don't even have Durant hasn't played in forever. I don't have a good Brooklyn rating right now. Brooklyn at Philly game one, would Philly be favored in the home games in that series?
What would you need to bet Philly in that series?
I wouldn't mind Philly in that series, honestly. Like I think they're very live. So like I don't think I would need some crazy. That's the only opponent where I wouldn't need a crazy price.
+150.
I need more than that. I need like two, probably two.
Okay. Would you get two? Or you probably wouldn't, right?
It'd be close. Be right around there, I think.
I'm very distracted by the end of this game right now.
I know.
The soccer game. You don't even understand what's going on in it, though. Like Bayern is throwing everything at PSG.
I understand your head looking up and to the right on my screen very, very frequently as I'm asking you these questions. That's what I understand. Yeah, that stuff's like, that's just why, like Brooklyn, Philly. Well, first of all, I think we're extremely likely to get it. I don't know if the sick by the time we get to the end, like if Embiid's really the MVP at the end of the year, he has games like he had last night. He was completely insane last night. Would they be favored in some of the home games? Man, it'd be really, really close. And then the Nets game, something like Nets 3.5, 4, maybe something like that.
All right. You bet BetQL Audio Network, Nick Costos, Ken Barkley. We'll finish our NBA takeaways from last night. So we mentioned the Hawks are the 4 seed right now. I actually had to, this is what spurred this was, I was like, well, Atlanta's winning a ton of games. So I actually looked it up and that's how I found out. So Atlanta takes care of the Pelicans last night, 123-107. Trae Young scores 30. Great job with the opponent split play there.
Yep.
13-4 under Nate Dogg, under Nate McMillan. Like, yep. I mean, that's a pretty inspired move to fire Lloyd Pierce, put Nate McMillan. Now, whether you agree with the decision or not, they're proofs in the pudding, right? They're 13-4 in 17 games under Nate.
And got some of their players back from injury during that time. DeAndre Hunter is still kind of a mystery. I think there was some news on him, but I forgot to catch it before I came on the air, where he might come back pretty soon. But Trae Young played a little better last night. He had not been very good. Rick mentioned this in the chat, and I'll be interesting to see if this continues. If you look at their pace under Lloyd Pierce and their pace under Nate McMillan, definitely the first like 10 games under McMillan, I believe slowest pace in the league, slowest or second slowest pace in the league. Games were going way under, just a completely different style. It's interesting because like they played the Pelicans. The game went a half point. If you had the over in that game, I'm really sorry, by the way, because like I think it ended up landing a half point under in a kind of a blowout. But is that going to keep up? Like, is that something that they really want to kind of keep doing, or is that sustainable, I guess, is the right way to put it. When they get all their guys back, is that actually what they want to do, or is that just what they're doing because it's this time of year and scoring's been way down the last few weeks? I'll be interested to see that. So I don't really have a good answer there, but it is interesting. If you bet Hawks, you've definitely noticed that the last couple weeks. Their total's way lower, pace way down. It's obviously had an impact on markets.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
And let's talk about the Nuggets to close the first hour of the show here. They beat the Pistons by 15. Bummer if you bet the Pistons like us because the Pistons almost covered at the end. Jokic, 27-8-11. He's going to win the MVP. Aaron Gordon's playing well. My one note here, and I'll let you talk about the Nuggets. Detroit in their last six games with one bad game against Miami thrown in there, they're scoring like 115 points per game. Just something to consider that the Pistons are now scoring a lot of points in games.
Right.
Now, they're also allowing points. This may be an over team, but anyway – give you your say on the Nuggets here to close.
Sure. Well, I checked the box score when you told me like that they had a chance to backdoor at the end. And I was like, all right, well, like I saw Jeremy Grant had a huge game. He must have taken a million shots. No, like he and Sadiq Bey shot really efficiently. Oh, but they just allowed insane numbers to everybody. And with Gordon, you know, I think when you watch the games, you get it more than when you look at the box scores with him. It's not intangibles because like you can document the things that he's doing. It's not like it's attitude and teamwork and leadership or all this stuff. It's literally like, he's playing excellent defense. He can kind of be a rim protector. He's cutting when Jokic has the ball, which opens up other things, even if he's not scoring. Like he's doing a lot of things that you can actually document. Some are counting statistics, but the five-man lineups with him out there, man, are like really, really, really scary. And I know like Murray's hurt and may not play again or may not play tonight, but like that is a five-man lineup that is very interesting now when we get to like second round of the playoffs. If they do get past Portland, which was a series we were talking about earlier, and it's them in Utah again, like Utah will have home court. Utah will be favored. Like if Denver was a small, like if Denver was,
I would bet Denver
plus 180 against Utah plus 220, something like that in that zone.
Easy bet,
right?
Easy, easy.
And that is, I made a mistake earlier with Portland and Dallas. That's a very Denver at Utah is an extremely likely second round series. That might be the most likely second round series we have right now in either conference.
I'm pretty bummed. PSG just won.
Oh. And you had the draw, right?
Yeah, plus 275. That would have been nice.
Yeah.
And Bayern, like,
felt like a game that could have drew, right? A lot of chances,
oh,
a lot of stuff.
Yeah, dude, Bayern had like seven and like it almost had a penalty. Like the players went nuts. There should have been a penalty kick in like the 90th minute.
No, boy.
So, what are you going to do? Chelsea a winner, though. Killian
almost
Mbappe, by the way, I don't know if people care or not, but Mbappe is the best player in the world now. He's better than Messi and Ronaldo. We'll take a quick break here, and on the other side, hour number two starts off with our old pal, John Jastrzemski, talking Major League Baseball betting here on the BetQL Audio Network.